Measures Radio is on the air.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes. If you are a moron, please turn off your radio, because we don't need any more stupid, narrow-minded, pencil-neck geeks who wouldn't know the First Amendment if it came up and bit them on the butt. Thank you.
You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Path has led you to the Tinker's Shop here on Just Measures Radio. I welcome you. Please come in, sit down, have a seat. We all must remember that we are the library for those who come after us, and we must share our knowledge with those who need it.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be. Since I found serenity, you can't take the sky from me.
And good evening, my friends. Forgot to turn my microphone on there for a second. So, well, here we are. Once again, it's Saturday night and 9 p.m. Central Time. Your local time may vary. Course. And it is the, let's see, what is it today? It's the 1st of November of 2014. Yes. All Saints Day. So hopefully everybody had a good Halloween yesterday. You know, some of the news I'd seen today. Looked like a bunch of people didn't have a real good Halloween because a bunch of people got run over various places. But hopefully, even the ones that got hit, hopefully they survived. I don't know. I haven't read, so I do not know. So let's see here. Yeah. Yeah, I've been running around today like a chicken with my head cut off here. So it's, been quite the day. We do have Mother Earth's her audio software working properly. Yay, finally. So now that they will download to me quicker, so I can process them to get them ready to for broadcast. So, and let's see here. What else? Yeah, heard a whole bunch of jokes today. I probably might slip one in here every so often tonight. You know, it's just, tell you what, here we go. You know, there was about the Christian and the atheist. Well, you know, this atheist comes up on this Christian and says, you know, man, I just don't understand how you can, you know, believe all this stuff. You know, it's all superstition. You don't know what is happening with it. And yeah, terrible. And the Christian says, well, it's like grass. And the atheist goes, what? And the Christian says, yeah, it's grass. He goes, okay, tell me. And the Christian guy says, well, you know, deers eat grass. Cows eat grass. And so do horses. And he goes, so? He says, well, you know, when a deer gets through eating it and processing it, he, you know, comes out as little teeny pellets out of it. And when a cow gets through, you know, you get these great big gushy cow pies. And with a horse, well, you get, you know, you get those kind of soft, soft green horse apples. And he says, so, you know, the Christian tells the atheist, can you tell me why that is? And atheist says, I don't know. And Christian says, yeah, same thing when you talk about God, but you don't know shit. So, so we'll leave it at that one for starters. Hopefully I don't get in trouble for my language there. So let's see here. This week, well, first off, I need to say this. Good evening, Iowa Cat. Hello, Gene. Hey, Minnie. Pumpkin. Rights. Good to see all of you here. And I see Cope here in the, you know, kind of lurking here in the chat room. And we have Ananon. Welcome. I don't know who you are, but welcome anyway. So let's see here. So let's see. What would the week this week? Well, it's been quite a week. I'll just put it that way. Hold on just one moment. Yeah, okay. Well, I'm back. Had to sneeze there. Didn't want to bust anybody's eardrums. It's just, today's the second firing of the wood stove here for the season. So, you know, got to get reused to that, and it's kind of, you know, stirring the dust around. So, well, has everybody been getting their stuff ready for the winter? You know, we've got, you know, with everything else that's going on, obviously we're all kind of, you know, prepping for what could be coming down. You know, this last week there's a lot of people talking about, oh, gee, you know, here we are, we're coming up on the, you know, the Halloween weekend. There's a lot of chatter or talk about, you know, is there some sort of, you know, false flag or real attack coming here on the States, you know, sometime between the 31st of October and the 2nd of November? Well, so far, knock on wood, there hasn't been anything yet, and hopefully nothing will occur. Of course, though, still, it never hurts to be prepared and to be aware. And, again, what else has been in the news this week? Oh, something about some virus. What was it? Yes. Okay, I'm being silly. You know, it's, hopefully everybody's been getting their, preps and thoughts together for, the upcoming flu season and the, possibility of Ebola getting going. Again, been a lot of interesting discussion on that. Because either we're being awfully darn lucky, or and that, you know, nobody's really catching it, and those who have been confirmed as having Ebola, you know, they seem to be well, what is it? They've lost the one, you know, that what's his name? Thomas Eric Duncan, or Eric Thomas Duncan, you know, the guy down here in Dallas. You know, he's the only one that's been reported as being a fatality here in this country. And we've had, what, several other people who they said, well, yeah, they've been exposed to it and they've had it and, you know, they've given them whatever they're giving them. And, yep, they're all clear now. So I don't know if they've got a, you know, a new miracle cure here or if it's, shall we say, a lot of BS. Because here we have the elections coming up here on Tuesday. And I'll tell you what, if the CDC or our illustrious Ebola czar, you know, if they would say, oh, hey, we got it all over the place, I think that would kind of have a tendency of skewing the election in the right way. And basically, get a lot of the current rascals out. Of course, really, we really should get all the current rascals out of there anyway, because they haven't done us a heck of a lot of good. What would be great is if we would have a Tea Party Rebellion. How about that? Yeah, get a whole bunch of good conservatives in there, fiscal and moral conservatives. So, what can you say? Yeah, it's just, yeah. Anyway, yeah, so there's, you know, that, like I said, that's some of the chatter. You know, people are thinking, well, either this whole Ebola thing has been totally blown out of proportion and it's nothing to worry about. See entirely too much of that. And then there's the other people who are saying, no, it's quite widespread. And the government is just concealing the fact. I don't know. I do know that I am definitely myself taking much more care when I go out. If I hear somebody hacking and coughing, you can bet I'm heading the other direction from them. And limiting my visits to different places. Of course, this week I did go out and pick myself up some more N95 masks. Of course, depending on who you listen to, some of them say, yep, N95s are sufficient. Others are, no, N95s are not sufficient, that you need to have the N100 or the HEPA masks. Again, I don't know. Yep, so, you know, went ahead, stashed away, you know, another box or two of N95s. Went out and got myself more nitrile gloves. Again, they're always helpful. You know, really, when you come right down to it, this year with the cold and flu season, if nothing else, it could help. And, of course, we all need to keep taking our colloidal silver every day. And if you can stand it, or if you have a good enough supply of elderberry extract, you know, go ahead and keep taking that as well. And let's see. Trying to think of other stuff here. Other things that I should speak on. I'll tell you what. While I'm trying to remember what all I was going to talk about tonight, I think maybe I should go ahead here and maybe do a little bit of music. So here, but a couple weeks back I did this one. It's Orange Blossom Special done on the Dobro. So I'll be back here in about just over 3 minutes. Enjoy. Thank you. Okay. Well, I'm back. And hopefully I'm audible here. Just struck me I hadn't checked that earlier. So, oh, yeah. So, let's see. Where were we? Yes, we were talking about all the possible goodies here this fall. Yeah, I've kind of heard that, too, and kind of wondered about that myself with the crossing as such. This intravirus 68 crossing with flu or something. That, I think, would be kind of nasty. And you could end up with something similar to what they had with the 1918 flu, because a lot of people got hit by that and, you know, hit them in the lungs and caused pneumonia and whatnot. So, yeah, it was not a good thing. And as for an Ebola D68 cross, ew, that is not even fun even just to think about. So, yeah, that reminds me of another one that I heard today. Seems this germ decides he's going to walk into a bar, and bartender tells him, hey, we don't serve your kind here. And, you know, we don't serve bacteria here. And the bug says, oh, no, that's okay. I'm staff. Yeah, okay. And I don't have a laugh track, so what can I say? Yeah, with all the hazmat suits that the feds have been buying up and all their hollow points that all the different agencies have had, yeah, there was, let's see here, if I can find it here. I had it just the other day, so let's see if I can find it here. Nope, that's something different. I had a, okay, there we are. Yeah, there was a gentleman who, I'm not going to say who he was or where he was from, but I'll just say that he'd spent the last couple of weeks traveling all over the east side of the U.S., doing briefings and trainings of hospital people. And he also, along the way, had, you know, a lot of discussions with other people. You know, admins and organizations and whatnot. And a bunch of his stuff that he'd said that's rather troubling. And I did talk to someone else myself who kind of independently verified most of what this person had said. And that basically in the medical pipelines right now, there's no PPEs available. You know, what the hospitals and EMS systems have right now, that's all they're going to get. You know, there's some in the pipeline, and, local emergency medical places, yeah, they have, some. But, all the supplies that were stashed around the country in the Strategic National Stockpile, that's inaccessible. And, you know, supposedly it's under armed federal guards. And, yeah, it's just like, huh? What? And, well, again, there's reports that have been made that that supplies, well, this kind of goes along with what John was saying last night, too, about that supplies that, you know, various local or state organizations, hospitals and whatnot, supplies that they have on hand, they're being transferred out of their control and are being used for continuity of government, which is nothing more than a nice way of saying that the government is grabbing up all the stuff they can to protect themselves and to heck with us. What can you say? You know, it's kind of, you know, I guess I could say there's no surprise there, you know, because, you know, the feds, you know, they're, well, what can I say? They, yeah, they're going to look out for themselves. So, and a lot of, with the federal agencies and whatnot, they're being prohibited from talking to each other, coordinating, you know, even on a basic level. So, yeah. And, well, I suppose that's probably enough of that. It's just, figured I should go ahead and mention it. Yeah, that's, yeah, something to be aware of. Oh, yeah, comment here about, Minnie, you said that, you thought they ordered the hazmat suits to go along with their ammo. Here's something to remember. Most of these hazmat suits are pretty flimsy. So, if nothing else, if they start wandering around and it being pains in the butt, you know, if a person can somehow get a bunch of tears or little holes in their hazmat suits, they're no longer covered. So, I'm not, you know, as Conk says, I'm not a saying, I'm not a judging, you know, just making a comment. So, let's see, what else here? Well, what was it? Yeah, tonight I kind of finally, you know, had made myself some notes and whatnot of stuff. I was kind of, shall we say, running late. We She Who Must Be Obeyed and I, we made a fast trip over to a local town here this evening because she needed some more stuff for their play that they're working on, so. And while I was there, I actually had a call from Mother Earth saying, hey, got another program done, getting ready to send you. So we got back here, and I spent the time right after we got back here up until about 10 minutes before I went on the air downloading the program. So we'll be in good shape on that. So let's see. What do we got here? We've got 25 past the hour, so I guess I got... Oh, a little bit more time here before I should, you know, do some commercials. So, let's see here. What was... Oh! Duh! Just remembered. Okay. Canning stuff. You know, it's... You know, like I said, you know, multitude of little things this week that I've been thinking on and whatnot. This week I'd gone ahead and cracked out some of the... pizza sauce that I had made last year, you know, 2013. I thought, okay, yeah, time to crack some of this out, and I had been using the Forever Recap lids. These are the ones that are very similar to the Tatler lids. I don't know if anybody had gone ahead and ordered any of them up after I talked about them last fall and this over the winter, but they're kind of a spooking out of that, because out of the three jars that I'd opened so far of sauces that were done with the Forever Recaps using their silicone gasket, two of the three completely failed. Yeah, matter of fact, the last one looked like somebody had a horse loogie sitting in on top of the pizza sauce. And the one that didn't lose its seal lost probably 90% of it, and I was actually able to pop it off with one finger. But I kind of thought, did I screw up on these or what? Well, started doing some research on it and found out that last year, in October, they'd had a recall on their seals. Like I said, they'd been selling before with a silicone seal, which, in theory, looked like a really good idea. You know, virtually, you can't say forever, but, you know, many years worth of possibilities for it. Well, it turned out the silicone seals were prone to failure. So if anybody has gotten those and used them, you might want to check them because you might find that a lot of stuff has unsealed itself. What the manufacturer is now saying is the red seal should only be used for freezer canning, vacuum jar canning, or, see, what was the third? Lacto-fermented vegetables. In other words, pickles, sauerkraut, this sort of thing. And they have gone ahead and are replacing all those red seals with a black nitrile seal, which is basically what Tatler and a couple of other outfits have been using. So, like I said, kind of figured I'd pass that along as a little bit of a public service announcement. And I actually did contact them this week. Yeah, I sent them off and first tried giving them a call, and it was after business hours, but I figured, well, I'll leave a message on their voicemail. I did, and then I also sent them an email, you know, kind of explaining what had happened. And by the next afternoon, they'd already contacted me, and I was talking back and forth with them, and they says, okay, yep. They wanted to verify my address and verify that, yes, I'd ordered up 100 of the regular and 100 of the wide mouths, and they were sending me out a whole new set of the nitrile gaskets. So even though I was kind of spooked there for a while, I think I still need to go ahead and just give them a thumbs up. They had a problem with the stuff, and they're actually going ahead and standing behind it. So let me do this here. I'm going to drop this in here. Okay, there we go. Forever recap. And it's something that if you guys are playing and, you know, doing any more canning or whatever, something to look at. You know, the stuff isn't cheap, but then again, I spent $111. I got 200 lids. Sounds like it's pretty expensive, you know, like 50 cents a piece roughly. But if you stop and think about it, after two seasons worth, you probably got your money back. And are they putting out some sort of public notice, like a recall? Yeah, they did on their website. And a lot of the people who, ordered them up online or whatever, they did send them emails as well. Obviously, some of the people fell through the cracks, like I did. But then again, I made my order just before they got the word that, you know, the seals weren't right. And so it kind of fell through the cracks, and they says, hey, we're sorry. Here. So, yeah, they're being real good about it. So, and let's see. Also on, I know it was mentioned on Time Bomb 2000, where some of the people had had failures with their seals and some other places, but, you know, they, from what I understand, they've been real good about replacing them. So, okay, so let's see, trying to think of what else with this. Well, let's see here. Well, we're right here at the bottom of the hour, so I should probably, I should go ahead and put a commercial in here, or maybe two, and once we get through that, I'll be back. So here we go.
For the last 20 years, Army medics were taught to the same standard as civilian EMT paramedics. After the blow-up in the sandbox of Iraq and Afghanistan, the U.S. Army Medical Corps relooked on how medics were trained. Their training has prepared you on standards that apply to civilian emergency medical services that do not apply to the combat environment. Does the show actually mean combat? Not totally. Combat environments can be found in horrible natural disasters and, yes, man-made disasters. Between this show and live training, the Medic Shack will show you how to treat and survive most any natural or man-made disaster. So join us Sundays, 5 p.m. Mountain Time on the Just Measures Radio Network.
invasions, kidnappings, vandalism, shoplifting, robberies, burglary, all on the rise today. What can you do to protect yourself, your home, and your property, especially when you're away? Call Southwest Security Advisors, licensed, bonded, and insured armed security. We provide a wide range of security services, including building and property security, courtesy patrols, shoplifting surveillance, alarm response, safety escorts, security consulting, just to name a few. We also offer certified armed and unarmed security officer training. We're located at 674 East White Mountain Boulevard in Pine Top, Arizona, inside Southwest Shooting Authority. Whatever your security needs, call Southwest Security Advisors at 928-367-2547. Southwest Security Advisors, covering your assets all over Eastern Arizona.
Okay, there we go. You know, have to do something to pay the bills here on Just Measures Radio every so often. So, okay, well, let's see here. Take a peek here in the chat room. Iowa Cat, you'd asked if it's possible to redo grape jelly that didn't set after a week. I agree with Wrights. I'm pretty sure you can. You know, you just basically have to reheat it and, you know, possibly use more, pectin, yes. Of course, there is always an alternative. If you don't have a large bunch, if you just have a few jars that didn't totally set, if they're kind of, you know, runny yet, you can always relabel it and call it grape syrup. We had some that, what was it, a year or so back? We had probably about 8 or 9 jars that didn't set. And what we did was we took it on down to, well, we actually used some here, but we took some down to my wife's relatives down in the Chicago area and told them it was apple syrup, you know, for pancakes and their crepes and whatnot. And they loved it. And they just said, hey, wow, hey, do you have any more? So, that's a possibility, too. In a lot of cases with the jellies that don't set up completely, Donna has found this out before. And matter of fact, she has redone a couple of them. Of course, it was when she started making it, she was just like, no, and she went with the exact measurements of everything and the stuff just, and she went with the, you know, set the timer, you know, for, you know, minutes and seconds for it and went with that, and where stuff just wasn't thick enough, she said, to heck with it. I'm just going to go ahead here, and she went ahead and used the old style, and she kept boiling it, you know, for a longer time until it definitely sheeted off of the spoon like it should, and she said from now on she's just gonna go with the use the time as a general guideline and figure, okay, that's the minimum amount of time she needs to boil it. So, and this year she's made a lot of jelly. She did apple jelly, she did crab apple jelly. Let's see, I think she did some black raspberry jelly, and let's see, what else was there? I think it was some rhubarb as well. So, you know, how's the old phrase go? When life gives you lemons, make lemonade. So, yes, grape syrup. It'll work for you. So, let's see, what else? Like I said, I've kind of found. This was kind of a busy week, I'll put it that way. You know, what with all the, like I said, with all the news and whatnot and trying to get everything finished up for the winter here. See, I think I've got, what is it, I've got one bed of carrots to cover yet out here for the year. I've got to finish pulling all my leeks and getting them stored for the year. This year I had gone ahead and done, what was it? It was about 100, Yeah, roughly. Roughly 100, 125 sets for leaks. And so I've got a lot of leaks out there. Most of them are, well, probably only 3/4 of an inch to inch in diameter. But what the heck. They taste good. And let's see, garlic. Yes, that's the other thing. This weekend I'd originally thought of, you know, getting my garlic planted, which is about a week late or so. But Monday, we're supposed to have it warming up here a little bit. And so we'll be getting things set up for that. And I've already been told this year I need to double my garlic planting. Again, I had about 100, 125 garlic sets I put out last year. This year I got told, okay, this year we're going to do about 200 to 250. Garlic is good. Garlic is your friend. So, and let's see what else. Oh, I don't know how many people are still have anything in their garden, but for those of us in the northern climes, like, well, see, Punkin, you're up here up in our neck of the woods, I believe. You're right over in Michigan. And, oh, you were asking if I asked, I said leeks or leafs? Leeks, L-E-E-K. Yep, it's, they're a relative of the onion plant. And, yeah, they get, you know, like I said, you know, usually get them at least, you know, 1/2 to 3/4 of an inch diameter. I've got a bunch out there this year that are probably, 1.5 inch diameter. You know, had a few good sized ones. So, yeah. There you go. Okay. He says your test jar was fine for grape jelly and the processed ones are syrup. Yep. What it is, you just need to cook them just a little bit longer. So, and yes, that is a lot of garlic. But we eat a lot of garlic around here. It's, garlic and onions both have a lot of, I'm not a fancy herbalist or a big time herbalist like, Cat is, or even elderberry. And I don't think elderberry's in here tonight. Nope, I don't see her here. So we'll have to ask her sometime about, you know, all the health benefits both of onions and garlics. But I do know that they help boost your immune system. So, and Iowa Cat, you said that you processed it too long. No, you didn't. You probably didn't process it long enough. You have to have it like it right at a boil, and you know for you know a couple minutes at least. And when you take and tip, you put your spoon in there, and when you take it out, just kind of tip it, and it should kind of sheet off the spoon, you know, not just drip, drip, drip type thing, or, you know, running right off. It should just kind of, you know, form like a skin on there and just kind of sag down and sheet off that way. So, it's just, again, we're experimenting with the stuff too. So let's see, what else? Yep, now is the time to be, you know, cleaning the gardens out, you know, raking all the excess dead veggies up. I've been kind of letting things freeze out here a little bit the last couple of days because tomorrow I'm going to be going out and earlier on in the day and raking up where the tomato beds were because we had a bunch of the little yellow tomatoes, little, what do they call them? Pear tomatoes, I think. They're about the size of the last section of my thumb. And they just constantly, always, you know, you drop one of those darn things, you don't get it cleaned up, and you're going to have a half dozen plants coming up next year. Yeah, last time I bought those little yellow pear tomatoes was back probably 8 or 9 years ago. And we've got them in all three gardens now. I have no idea how they got from the original one to the other two, but they're there. yeah, if you've got any tomatoes that you decided you wanted to save this year, or if you have, you know, say you had one that you dropped on the ground that had a, you know, bird pecks in or something or other, and you didn't get it in the mulch bin. If you like the stuff and it was an heirloom variety, take the tomato and get it in a jar and mush it up real good. Get some water in there and let it, basically the pulp and seeds, squeeze it out of there. You know, it's good use for a pair of your nitrile gloves that you should have on hand. Go ahead and squeeze the pulp into a jar. Kind of stir it up real good with a little bit of water. Put a lid on it. Leave it set for a few days. It'll start fermenting a little bit. It'll start stinking. But your seeds are going to drop out. And what you want to do is just kind of, pour the glop off the top. The bad pulp and the floating seeds. You don't want those. Once it falls into the bottom, you want to keep those. You rinse them good, like in a strainer or whatever. Dump them out like on a, say like a paper, well, not necessarily paper plate, but like a coffee filter. If you put them on a coffee filter, just let them air dry. Don't put them in a food dryer. Just let them air dry once they're all dried. Stick them in an envelope. Mark the envelope with what your variety is for your tomato seeds. And come say, for us up here in the north, up in the north woods or up in the tundra, we need to probably get our tomato plants started by, say, end of February. Get them into some soil and start the seeds. And then next year you'll have tomatoes just like you had this year. You can use the same trick for potatoes. If you saved any of the true potato seed that forms on potatoes, again, you basically mash the seeds up, mash the true potato seed, which looks like a little green tomato on top of your potato plants. You save that, you treat it the same way. Let's see, what else? Leeks. Mentioned those before that I'm harvesting those now. And on leeks, quite often, leeks will form scapes, just like garlics do. Garlics, you get this long, thin shoot that comes up and kind of wants to curl around. Very edible. You cut those off, you save them. You can pickle them up, and they're great. In salads, you can use them in stir fry, a lot of things. Leeks will do the same thing. You'll get a central shoot that comes up, and you'll have like a flower on it. Looks almost like an onion flower. And with those, if you get one of those flowers when you're harvesting leeks, go ahead and snip it off. You set it to the side, and you let it dry, and once it's dry, you can shake the little black seeds out, and you let them dry. You put them in an envelope. Same thing. Thing is, if you have any plant that's an heirloom that produces seed like this for you the first year, a lot of people go, "Oh darn, it bolted." No, what that means is it's happy where you're at. So that's a good one to keep. If everything bolts, then you got a problem. But if you only have two or three of them, that bolt and create seed, keep them. Because that is, that means the plants are happy in your yard. They want to create more seed, grow more. So, again, like I said, life hands you lemons, make lemonade. Let's see, what else? Okay, you said more grapes next year. Yes, that's something I gotta do as well. And I need to start some more elderberry plants this winter. And beef leek soup. Yes, that is good. Or a nice cheesy potato leek soup with use a chicken base for that. And that comes up good too. And let's see here. If you tell him that their plants are happy, he'll commit you? No! It's like the old thing with, I think Wisconsin did it for a while, but I know California did for sure. They were talking, about, that, the that their products came from contented cows or something, or happy cows. So, oh, better to have a happy wife? Yeah. Yep, that, I think any guy who's got any brains in his head will agree with you on that. Because like they say, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. So, yeah, let's see here. What was the other stuff? Oh, I got several more jokes here that I could do. Oh, hey, Concrete, and since you're here, yeah, this here's one that I got told tonight. Yeah, it's about an engineer, and this engineer gets home and finds a note on the refrigerator from his wife. She says, "It's not working. I'm going to my sister's." Well, he opens up the refrigerator door and goes, "Well, gee, the light's on. It must be fixed itself." Oh, well. Again, terrible joke. Terrible joke. So, and I do have something else that I was going to play before. Now, this is in honor of the elections coming up this next Tuesday. You know, Tuesday is the day for all the conservatives to go vote. Wednesday is the day for all the liberals to go. So, anyway, it's a little taste of Ray Stevens. And I'll put this on, and that'll give me a chance to wet my whistle, and then I'll be right back.
Hi, this is Ray Stevens with a public service announcement. I just want to encourage everyone to go vote in this important upcoming election. But keep your eyes peeled and your feelers out for voter fraud. I had a personal experience in the last election, and I have a song here that'll tell you all about it. Grandpa was an Eagle Scout, a 33rd degree Mason, and he fought in the Second World War. Was a deacon down at the Baptist Church since 1964. Bought clothes for the homeless, toys for the orphans, on top of giving his tithe, voting religiously. Straight GOP, never missed an election in his life. So it took us by surprise when we heard on the news last night, Grandpa voted Democrat, and our family ain't proud of that. Yeah, we thought it was a joke when the big news broke, but the sure enough counted his vote. Now we're wondering how he cast it from inside his casket. This sure seems funny to me, how they got his absentee. Grandpa voted Democrat, now he'll never rest in peace. From the way it sounds, they had a good turnout down at the Mount Olive graveyard. Over 90% of the residents crossed over with their voter card. It's all over the news, and now they're arguing who's caught up in the voter fraud, and how a good man's name could be smeared this way while he's 6 feet under the sod. It sure took us by surprise. He's been dead since 95. Grandpa voted Democrat, and our family ain't proud of that. Yeah, we thought it was a joke when the big news broke, but the show enough counted his vote. Now we're wondering how he cast it down inside his casket. It sure seems funny to me how they got his absentee. Grandpa voted Democrat, now he'll never rest in peace. This is one November I don't want to remember. Grandpa voted Democrat, now he'll never rest in peace.
said, Tuesday's the day for all the conservatives to go out and vote, and Wednesday's the day for all the liberals to go. So, I'm doing my piece here. Yeah, you know, that, again, what inspired me to play that tonight was, saw the news report this last week that, what was it, down in Virginia, I think it was? They'd, found that there was, 40,000 people that were both, that voted both, yeah, I think it was in Virginia and Delaware. You know, the names and the whole, everything they could track down, all matched. So if you had 40,000 people voting twice in those two states, that's enough to really throw an election for a loop. So, and what was it? They're also talking that there's, been quite a number of, shall we say, our uninvited guests to this country who, by virtue of different idiotic states that have been going ahead and giving them driver's licenses, you know, then they can go and use that to vote. Ain't that special? So, yeah. Again, that's part of the reason tonight where I was just like, okay, you know, got to be cracking some dumb jokes here. So, oh, yeah. So, let's see. What else was there? Stuff I got to do. You know, mental memos pop up with gardens and whatnot. I know I've got to make two more of the potato bins like I showed a couple weeks back. Or it must be close to a month now, come to think of it. Got to get some more of those. Let's see. If you, let's see here. Again, you know, kind of time to stock up on some stuff. I know that our local Save-A-Lot, you know, for those who haven't been able to grow potatoes too well this year, our local Save-A-Lot actually had them, but they had 5-pound bags for 99 cents. Yeah, it doesn't sound like that bad or whatever, or it doesn't sound like that good a deal, I suppose. But if you stop and think about it, that means you can get a 50-pound bag of potatoes for $10. Again, it's not too bad. And those of us who have Quick Trips in the area, Quick Trips have a lot of stuff. You know, they'll have their, you know, they got their frozen food section, they've got their dairy section. Some of us started carrying meat, and this last week, well, actually today, my wife commented to me, she saw that the local Quick Trip here was, again, selling 5 pounds of potatoes for 99 cents. So if you have a Quick Trip or, what is that? Oh, IOCAD, you probably would know. What was it down in Iowa? You've got a, was it Quick Mart, I think it is? It's like Quick Trip. You know, and the name is very similar. It's the same gas that they have. And it's owned by the same company, but there was a conflict in names. There was an Iowa corporation that complained that Quick Trip was, that their name was too similar. Quick Stop, there it is. You got it. That's it, Quick Stop. That's a place that can be checked also. Yeah, I'm not sure how many states have Quick Stops, but they're like a Quick Trip. And, you know, something to check out, you know, because, like I said, Spuds, you know, a lot of people think they're, you know, potatoes. I don't like them. But the thing is, potatoes definitely can keep you going. There's a heck of a lot of Irishmen who, you know, that's what they survived on. If you got a cow and you got potatoes, you know, potatoes and milk, that'll keep you going. So, anyway, so, okay. Yes, why do we grow our own if you can buy them for that price? Well, belt and suspenders. You know, I grow my own, and they're huge and everything else. But if you need the carbs, You know, I would say with commercially bought potatoes, you want to peel the darn things. Because a lot of times when they have them in storage, they'll spray them with a fungicide or whatever, you know, to keep any, you know, mold or funguses down. Well, actually, potatoes generally, I don't think there's a heck of a lot of potatoes that are growing and shipped in from China. Because I know up here in Wisconsin, we have some hellaciously large potato growing areas. Minnesota does, and heck, Idaho does too. You know, you got to have a little bit of cold weather. So, but yeah, when the stores close, you got to grow your own. And you know, for me right now, like I said, this year I did that. All those potatoes, I'm happy. You know, I've got probably 250 pounds of potatoes all told, maybe a little bit more. And but the thing is, what I did with those is I separated them out. All the littler ones that are, you know, say inch and a half or less, they went in their own bin. And I'll tell you what, next year, when it comes time to plant, I can go downstairs to my basement, and that bin that's got all the little potatoes in, I can take and toss them in a cloth bag and take out my potato planter. Remember that? You know, built it back in January, showed you guys the pictures of it. And I can go out there and just literally walk along darn near that quick and plant potatoes. So, yeah, it's, and like you said, everything tastes better when you grow it yourself. Just something about it. Because you know what went into it. You don't know what somebody else did when they were growing it. So, let's see here. Well, it's 10 o'clock, so tell you what. I still feel somewhat energized here. I was originally thinking of just, you know, kind of pulling the pin at 10 o'clock here and finally eating my supper, but tell you what, I'm good for another half hour, I think, at least. So let me go do this. I'll go ahead here and, again, drop a couple of station ads in, and then we'll continue on from there.
There are a few things life has to offer that is a great above the rest. Good friends, good food, and a premium handmade cigar from F.K. Christian Pipe Company. All Just Measures Radio listeners get 10% off all singles and 15% off all boxes. And when you order a box, you will also get one of Natty's Selects free. That's right, with every box purchase, you get one of my hand-picked favorites along with 15%. This is a deal that cannot be beat. You can call or email Stacy via the link at Just Measures Radio or JustMeasuresCS.com. F.K. Christen, your premium cigar company. And yes, each one is rolled on the thighs of virgins south of the border.
Years ago, I uttered the phrase too late as a warning that silver and gold prices would soon skyrocket, and thus they have this year. With our current financial predicament, you might want to consider someone who supplies silver American Eagles and other precious metals, a family dealer up in Mount Vernon, Indiana. Just Measures Coin Shop. Call Bobby at 812-305-7091 or click on the link at my homepage at johngaultfla.com.
Okay, there we go. Got those out of the way here, so. And gave me a chance to grab a chunk of my chicken here that they cooked up for supper. I think that little nibble I had is going to be about enough, because I think he put a lot of red pepper in there and didn't tell me. Don't need that. So, I'll tell you what. Since we're kind of on the bonus hour here, or the bonus time, I think I might slip a little bit of music in here, so let's do this. Let's see. It doesn't look like Doc is in here, so I think I can get away with a little bit of bagpipes. How about a little bit of a theme for Scotland? Alistair Fraser, a theme for Scotland. So, yep. Well, kind of was looking at the chat room a little bit here while that was playing, and you know, putting a little bit of the food in my mouth. But yeah, talking about daylight savings time, it's kind of interesting. Who was it? Was it you, Conk, who said that? You quoted somebody who was famous that said that. Only a white man would think he could cut 6 inches off the end of a blanket, sew it on the other end, and make it longer. It's kind of like the same thing, you know, daylight savings time. I don't know. I myself, I still wake up when once the sunlight gets to just so far up. Actually, what it is shortly after dawn, the sunlight comes in through my window and gets me right in the eyes. So, yes, homemade bread. Yes, that's good stuff. Maybe tonight I'll get a biga started. That sounds good to me. So, maybe go out and when I'm working on the leeks tomorrow, I'll take a few of those and, cut them up, peel them, cut them, dice them up along with some potatoes and, make myself some good, cheesy potato leek soup and have that along with, some homemade bread. Another one which, gosh, now you got me thinking soup. It's terrible. Yeah, there's another one that uses wild rice, chicken and wild rice soup. Yeah, and another thing too. Yeah, that's another thing that I'd go ahead and should mention. Prepping thoughts for you. I don't know how many of you have. Let's see, what would you call it? Well, up here in Wisconsin, we've got a fairly long German and Eastern European tradition for, the tradition up here. Germany had what was called guest houses, which is, a guest house, where, people could actually go in, and get their, go in and get their beer and sit down and have it in the evening and, sit around tables and just chat and whatnot. Also, a lot of the guest houses, they would serve food, the nightly special type thing. Well, that's been carried on here in Wisconsin. And, probably a lot of other places have it. I know, let's see here, Arkansas had it. For Friday nights, they'd always have fish or whatever, and we have that here too. Perch was always real big up here until the perch started getting a little bit more, shall we say, depleted, and the prices started going up. So now they've switched to whitefish or haddock, which is good also. But also, like I said, that was kind of like the Friday night special, and then on Saturday nights. Obviously some of the places would have stuff like prime rib or whatever. But we've got one place here that's, what was the name of it? It's called Walker's at Kohlerville. Yeah, it was just, a little bar restaurant out in the middle of freaking nowhere. That, flat cornfields in all four directions from it. And about three houses. And, thing is, the Walkers, there used to be a lady that my wife knew, she owned it, her and her husband. He died quite a number of years ago, and then when she died back, must be close to 10 years ago now, too. But they used to have a thing where they'd have their Saturday night chicken fry, all you could eat type thing. And what Mary always did, another Mary, she would pre-cook all the chicken. Get a big, basically a pot of water going. She'd throw in, a little bit of, some parsley in there and some little bit of salt and a little bit of some other spices. She'd throw her chicken in there and pre-cook it. And then take it out so she could bread it to, do her deep fry. Well, this broth that she'd come up with, she'd come up with, probably 20 gallons of chicken stock, basically, with no chicken in it. It was just basically the chicken fat and all the good juices from the chicken and the spices and the whole bit. And we used to go out there and pick it up at a gallon at a time or a couple gallons. Take a couple washed out milk jugs out there and you could pick up, 2 or 3 gallons of chicken stock for, a couple dollars. And, matter of fact, I was gonna stop over there the other day, and when I came by, wasn't anybody there. at that point in the day, so I wasn't able to. But, let's see, taking a peek here. Okay, Kohler, Wisconsin. That's over on the east side of the state, over near Sheboygan. And yeah, people over there talk funny. You know, there's a large influx of Illinoisans that come through there. But then again, Sheboygan itself, it's got a lot of Germans there. That's where what most people think of as a bratwurst or a Wisconsin brat, is actually a Sheboygan brat. So I can't really hold it against them. But Kohlerville, that's a different area. Kohlerville is over a little bit further to the west of there. Matter of fact, it's to the west of me. So, okay. Yes, yeah, sounds French Canadian to need Kohler. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what they are. Kohler was, a lot of bathroom fixtures and whatnot. So, anyway, like I was saying, yeah, that was that whole story about the chicken broth from Mary out in Kohlerville, or at Walker's at Kohlerville. If you guys have any small, like family-owned restaurant types of things in your area, that are bars that have, the Friday night, fish and chicken fries or whatever, it doesn't hurt to check with them and say, hey guys, when you're pre-cooking your chicken, what do you guys do with the water from that? If nothing else, it's a thought. If you can score a source of supply like that for chicken broth, can it up. It can make your preps go further. Okay, so let's see here. I think it's about time for another sick joke or something here. Yeah, okay. Since it's deer hunting season. There's a story about, these four ministers who, they get together and, they're gonna, go hunting. So they head up to a deer camp and, the night before opening, they're sitting around talking around the campfire out there. And, the Catholic priest says, guys, it's time, we're out here, it's time, it's probably a good time. We're together. We can kind of confess our sins to each other and kind of, make our own peace with things and make peace with nature. And he says, I have to admit, I kind of have the sin of lust in my way, in my own way. I've got my stash of, girly magazines I have back at the rectory here, and, occasionally I'll get them out and look at them and get, horrid thoughts. The Lutheran minister, says, I have to admit, I kind of get the, kind of like the sin of gluttony. He says, I hate to admit it, but, there'll be times I get hungry, I'll go out and I'll go over to the next town over and I'll get myself 4 quarter-pound cheeseburgers and a whole great big bag of fries, and I find myself someplace where nobody else will see me. I just eat these things down. I can't help myself. I gotta do it every so often. And the Episcopalian minister, he says, well, guys, I have to admit, my sin is probably could be best described as, greed. Because quite often when the offering plate goes around, I'll only drop a quarter in, or a handful of pennies. It sounds like I'm putting more in there than I actually do. And then you had the fourth guy. He was a Baptist, and he says, "Well, guys, I have to admit, my sin is gossip." He says, "And I can't wait to get home." So, like I said, kind of a night for sick jokes here. But after this week, with everything that's been going on, kind of sometimes it's good just to have a few of those. There's a whole raft of them I'd heard today and seen, and I just like, okay. So, what can you say? Gotta have a little bit. Well, tell you what. Being such that it's picking on the preachers, I think it's time for another piece of music. How about some Gold Slippers? Tone a little bit for my sins there, for picking on the preachers. So, what can I say? Actually, the thing is in one way, I suppose I could say, well, I'm just kind of picking on my brothers there. So, I was ordained probably back 40 years ago into the Universal Life Church and played chaplain for a while on a couple different outfits I was with, but. Now I'm just kind of figuring, no, I can't teach anybody or anything that they don't know already that they can't listen to for themselves. So, okay, well, let's see here. What do we have up in our sleeves here? Oh, I know I was thinking of something else to mention. But, yeah, so it's, Yeah, well, let's see here. Oh, I think I've got a Kinder knocking upon my door here. What can I say? He's probably going, Grandpa, are you still online? Yeah, I am. I do that. So, but that's okay. He's probably just kind of checking. So, what can we say? So, yep. Let's see here. Right, so you were saying that you had your crazy sister-in-law bugging you, huh? Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do here. I don't have it queued up yet or loaded up yet. I'm going to have to do that this evening. Both Conk's show from last night and the Liberty Lounge. Like I said, I was kind of busy today. Been trying to finish off the gardens for the year, you know, because that's, like I said before, you know, once the harvest season's over, there's still a lot of work to go into a garden for the year. Because what you need to do is you need to clean that up, you know, the garden, get all the old dead plants out of there, you know, kind of get the soil turned gently to, so it drains evenly. If you're going to feed it with any any more compost or any well-rotted manure, this is the time of year to do it. You get that fat in there, turn the soil over, get it smoothed out, and I myself, what I do with most of the time with my gardens is I'll get over the top of the garden itself. I'll go ahead and give it a bed of straw over it. Reason for that is this, you know, the first couple of snows, you know, obviously they're going to melt. But if they freeze, you know, right on the surface of the soil, it doesn't get a lot of the moisture into the soil to prep it for the next year. But if you give it a bed of straw over the top, the first few light snowfalls, that'll melt. It'll run down through the straw and into the soil, and that'll insulate the soil a little bit, keep it a little bit warmer. So the snows will actually melt and the moisture will go in the soil. Plus also, if you prep your beds for next year, you can do like I do with getting your garlic in. And like I said, you know, this week we're going to be getting our garlic in, all, you know, 200-250 cloves. You know, that when you put it in, that's right, I'll talk about that a little bit here too. When you're planting garlic, one thing that works pretty good is, oh heck, we got steaks and dibbles and everything else around here. But if you don't have anything else to use for planting garlic, a lot of these solar lights you can get for, you know, along your walkways or, you know, edges of your garden or whatever in your yards, let's have a little plastic spike that's usually about 6 inches long. You know, sharp on one end, blunt on the other. And if you go through and when you're planting your garlic, you can just take that and just kind of punch it into the ground. You know, and you turn soil. Yeah, you actually don't have to punch it, you just kind of push it in. Kind of give it a wiggle and you make yourself a little, you know, hole probably, you know, inch diameter by about 3 or 4 inches deep. You know, you go ahead and punch those into the ground, you know, every 6 inches. You know, 6 inches apart in a grid. And what you do is then you can go back after you've, you know, punched a whole bunch of holes there. You get your bag of your broken apart garlic cloves, and you just drop it in there. You know, the root end first, you know, the pointed end up. You just drop it into the hole in the ground. And, you know, basically once you get all your holes poked in, all your garlic planted, then you can go ahead and go back over it and either use the back of a rake, or you can use your hand and just kind of, you know, push it, you know, kind of smooth the dirt around that's going to fill your holes in for the dirt or where you've got your garlic planted. And once you have it, you know, smoothed over, you take your backside of your rake, like a garden rake, not a leaf rake, but the garden rake, and just kind of tamp it down gently, you know, crisscross it back and forth. Tamp it all down, you put yourself a bed of straw over the top of your garlic about 6 inches deep, and you can water it one time if you want. But yeah, at that point, like I said, you know, your first snow has come, it'll melt in, that little bit of moisture will flow down through and it'll help bed your garlic sets in, and then it's ready to go. You've planted your garlic for next year already. And by, say, well, up here in Wisconsin, and probably the same would go true over in Michigan, Iowa, Kent, you're probably pretty close to the same weather pattern we got. But, say, by end of March, you're going to start seeing little green shoots coming up, working their way up through that straw. And by middle of June, your garlic's going to probably be, you know, 10, 12 inches high at that point, it might actually start shooting up scapes. Well, once your scapes start coming up, that's when you want to clip them off. You know, save the scapes. You can use them in stir fries. You can pickle them, like I said. You can chop them up and use them in salads for, you know, if you like a really garlicky salad. If you're cooking something on the grill, throw a couple scapes on there, chop them up, put them on. It's like a really light, delicate garlic. And once you get those scapes off, then the garlic plant will go ahead and Well, basically, force all its energy into the bulb at the bottom. So, oh, yes, that you never planted garlic? Yes, now is the time. Yep, it's definitely the time of year. Up here, I'm probably a week late, but yeah, that's not too bad because this coming week we're supposed to be getting up into the 50s during the week. You know, we're going to have some rain, but it's time. And fall planted garlic is the best. If you plant it in the springtime, what you're going to end up with is garlic bulbs when you get all through that are about the size of a shooter. You know, for those of us who used to play marbles, you know, about an inch and maybe an inch diameter is what you're going to end up with garlic bulbs. So, but yeah, so that's yeah, about removing the scapes. Yep, you got to take the scapes off because, well, it's like any other plant. You have your roots, and that's basically what it is. You know, garlic is a root or a bulb. But if it shoots up the flowering stalk on there, the plant's going to be busy to try and feed that stalk and to feed the seeds to produce more plants. So if you basically take away the flower, that would where all the energy would go. You know, the garlic or even onions, you know, put their energy into the roots. So, yeah. So that's the trick. And usually around here by the end of June, first week in July, garlic is ready to be harvested. Because once you get about, say, three or four of the leaves that have died back and turned brown already, that's the time to pull them. If you let them go a lot longer than that, basically the cloves get too large and want to start breaking the paper, the paper skin that's around it. So it's kind of a balancing act, you know. Like say end of June, you know, if you're getting some rain, you know, consistently along, you can let them go. Yeah, it doesn't hurt to pull one early. You know, say the end of June, you check it and you go, okay, well, you know, I'll sacrifice one of the plants here just to check it. And you can just, you know, take like a garden trowel or whatever. You just lift one of the plants out. You can check and see. You know, if the garlic bulb is real large already, and it has well-defined cloves, you know, then you're good to go. You know, if it's still pretty spindly and small, yeah, then you can let it go for another week or two, and you know, make sure it's got water. So, yeah. But if at that point, say first week in July, if you dig one up and the paper on there is starting to split off, you want to get them pulled. Or you want to get them dug, actually. You don't want to pull them. You take and you dig them out with like a, you know, garden fork or a trowel or whatever. You know, you don't want to bash them around and bruise them because if you bruise them, they'll rot. But, you know, if you get them lifted out and you clean them off, you know, gently with your hands, get them out of the sunlight, you know, like a cool garage or whatever, or someplace that's shady. You just basically let them dry back until the tops are all dry. And then let's see. Oh, how do you store the bulbs? Okay, good question. With garlic, once you've let them dry off, you get them out. Like I said, you keep them in the shade, yeah, where it's, you know, because you don't want direct sun on them, because then again, it'll damage them. What I do with the garlic, I'll actually take them into my shop, which is, you know, fairly cool, and when I don't have the lights on or the windows open, it's fairly dim in there, and I'll leave them in there for two or three weeks, and the tops will all turn brown and become fragile. At that point, you have a couple of options. One, if you want to be a little bit more old style, and if the tops aren't too awfully overdried, you can braid them together. You know, so you have a garlic braid hanging up. I've done that both with onions and garlics. The other thing you can do is you can take, again, if they're completely dry, you can take like a garden shears, or a heavy, like kitchen shears, to use for, cutting bones and chickens or whatever. You clip the leaves and the stem off of the garlic, probably, say, 3/4 of an inch, half to 3/4 inch above the garlic bulb itself. And then also you can trim the roots off. And then at that point, I usually take and, like, rub off the outside layer of the paper. And then I just put them in a net bag and hang them in the kitchen. A lot of people say, oh, you really should take and keep them in a cool, dark place. I usually eat enough garlic to where they usually don't go bad before I get to them. But you can. You could put some of them, say, in like a brown paper bag. You can stash them underneath one of the kitchen cabinets. Just don't forget about them. Otherwise, all of a sudden, one day they'll go, what's that smell here in the kitchen? But, garlic bulbs keeping raccoons off the deck. I don't know. I'm usually pretty greedy with my garlic, so I don't let the critters have any of it. So, and about dehydrating or canning them. I imagine a person could dehydrate garlic, but like I said, I usually just kind of leave my cloves whole, and or my bulbs whole, and then as I need them, I just break off, two or three or four cloves of garlic to put in the stuff. So, and again, for canning them, I imagine a person could pickle garlic. I've seen it done. But to me, that's a waste of good garlic. And I just kind of like eating it straight. So, let's see, what else was there? Yeah, but that's kind of about it for garlic. It's good stuff. And let's see, where was it? Oh, yeah. I got all talking about how to do garlic here when I was talking about prepping the gardens. Yeah, it's basically when I clean the garden out and prep it for the winter, that's when I plant the garlic. And the straw that I put in the garden helps protect the garlic, helps keep the weeds down in the spring, because the garlic is strong enough to work its way up through. Weeds are a little bit harder. And the same thing goes for the rest of the garden. If you've tilled in manure or whatever, if you get some straw over the top, that helps allow the manure to decompose and get it mixed in with the soil good. Come spring, I'll clear the straw off of the other areas that I'm going to plant in, and loosen the soil back up, and get my seeds in. Some of the stuff like tomatoes, broccoli, cauliflower, see what else was there. A bunch of the other stuff. The way you don't want to have your fruit or your garden produce sitting on the dirt ground. Sometimes, if the straw is fairly decently dry, again, I'll mulch back up around my plants, and the straw helps keep the moisture in there for the summer. Obviously, if you have a super rainy year, then you might want to cut back on the straw a little bit, but for most normal years, straw helps. So, and let's see here. Trying to think if there was anything else with that. Well, since my brain is kind of giving me a brain fart right now, it's probably time for me to do a little bit more music in here. So, let's see here. Well, since Concretin was in here before, and I think he still is, but here's one about the Bonnie Blue Flag. So, enjoy.
We are a band of brothers and native to the soil, fighting for our liberty with treasure, blood, and toil. And when our rights are threatened, the cry rose near and far. Hurrah for the Bonnie Blue Flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the Bonnie Blue Flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the Bonnie Blue Flag that bears a single star. As long as the Union was faithful to her trust, like friends and like brethren, kind were we and just. But now when northern treachery attempts our rights to mar, we hoist on high the Bonnie Blue Flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the Bonnie Blue Flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the Bonnie Blue Flag that bears a single star. First gallant South Carolina nobly made the stand. Then came Alabama, who took her by the hand. Next quickly Mississippi, Georgia, and Florida. All raised on high the Bonnie Blue Flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the Bonnie Blue Flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the Bonnie Blue Flag that bears a single star. Even the valley gather round the banner of the right. Texas and fair Louisiana join us in the fight. Davis, our loved president, and Stephen, statesman rare, now rally round the Bonnie Blue Flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the Bonnie Blue Flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the Bonnie Blue Flag that bears a single star. Virginia, the old Dominion state, with the young Confederacy at length has linked her fate. Impelled by her example, now other states prepare to hoist on high the Bonnie Blue Flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the Bonnie Blue Flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the Bonnie Blue Flag that bears a single star. Then cheer, boys, cheer now, raise the joyous shout, for Arkansas and North Carolina now have both gone out. And let another rousing cheer for Tennessee be given. The single star of the Bonnie Blue Flag has grown to be 11. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the Bonnie Blue Flag has gained the 11th star. Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the Bonnie Blue Flag has gained the 11th star. Then here's to our Confederacy, strong we are and brave. Like patriots of old, we'll fight our heritage to save. And rather than submit to shame, to die we would prefer. So cheer for the Bonnie Blue Flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the Bonnie Blue Flag has gained the 11th star. For Southern rights, hurrah, hurrah, for the Bonnie Blue Flag has gained the 11th star.
Okay, I think I'm back here. My apologies. Yeah, sometimes the software will want to do that. It'll want to crash and burn, so... Oh, I'm back. I'm back. You guys don't need to run off. I, like I said, I figured I'd come back in here real quick. So, anyway, Iowa Cat. Okay, you'd asked about, where do you get your garlic? Yes. I've been known to get my, garlic at the grocery store. That's how you did it first when I was doing it. Yeah, just go get a whole, whole clove of garlic and just gently separate out the cloves and put them in. of course, you know, that's, if you can't find it anyplace else, you can do that. If you can find a farmer's market, they generally will have a little bit better variety of garlics to choose from. And, but yeah, what you do is you just replant the cloves of the garlic. So if you have a good sized clove of garlic, or a good sized bulb for garlic, you know, usually you can get, say, you know, 8 to 10 cloves off of there that are decent size. Well, each one of those can grow to, you know, give you a new garlic bulb. So, yeah, you just plant them in. When you put them into the ground, you know, they only go in, say, well, with the little pointy tip that's sticking up, you know, I usually get that in so it's just below ground level, you know, in the hole. And then when I push the dirt around and mash it around, you know, obviously it'll drop down a little bit more. But, you know, if it's below the surface of the dirt, you know, that'll give it a little bit more space for it to start growing. And, you know, you want your garlic clove to be, you know, well under the surface of the soil, simply because, you know, that's where it grows. So if it's, you know, planted a little bit deeper, you know, obviously it'll take longer for it to come up, you know, because it's got to grow further. But, you know, if you get it, you know, say an inch below the surface of the soil, it's not going to harm anything. It'll just be a little bit later in coming up. So, but yeah. But yeah, farmers markets, they've got good garlic. And, yeah, it's planted just like an onion is. You know, onions you plant, you know, you, myself, when I go out planting onions, you know, I make sure the soil is good and loose, and I'll just take, you know, kind of pinch the onion set between three fingers, and I'll just stick my fingers right in the ground, and kind of push them in, pull them out, pull the fingers apart, and it'll drop the clove in there, and just, you know, just kind of mash it down. That's all it is. So, okay, let's see here. Be right back in just a second here. Had to sneeze. So, okay, well, I'm trying to think. Well, let me look in here. Check the chat here, see if there's any others. Yes, Lowe's has had garlic sets. Yes, they do have them. Let's see. Yes, when I separate the cloves. No, I just plunk them right in. With garlic cloves, when you break it apart, obviously you're going to have, like, you know, the white papery surface on there, and then on the clove itself, it's got like a thinner or a thicker, like, husk on it. You don't want to break that husk, you know, the thicker, browner husk, because you know, that's basically what protects the garlic clove. And so, you know, you put that in, you know, in the ground, husk and all. Yeah, obviously, when you're breaking your garlic apart or separating it, you're going to probably get a few of them where you, you know, break the husk on the clove of garlic. Well, you know, if you break two or three of them, then what the heck? You know, you use the garlic pieces right away, you know, in cooking something. But, yeah, you just take and push the whole clove in the ground, and it should grow. let's see, I'm trying to think of some other places. I think Kmart's been known to have them, but this time of year they probably don't have a whole lot left. Some of the garden supply places, like, let's see, Stein Gardens and Gifts, that's one that's up here in the Midwest. I'm not sure how far they are around. But, you know, like I said, you know, farmers markets are a real good choice. Even, let's see here. I hate to say it, you know, like an organic grocery store or whatever. Because quite often, if you see the word organic on something, quite often they'll have triple the price. Of course, in a lot of cases, it's well worth it, too, so I shouldn't knock it. But then again, like I said, you know, each current bulb of garlic you get, you know, you should have, you know, anywhere from 8 to 10 good cloves on there that can be planted. So, and generally speaking, I've generally had pretty darn good luck, and I've had very few cloves that haven't sprouted and given me garlic. So I would say, generally speaking, I probably get at least 95% back. So, you know, obviously you'll get a few duds, you know, in the garlics when you plant them, but they're generally pretty darn forgiving. It's like onion sets, you know. If an onion set isn't moldy or too soft when you plant it, it'll grow. And again, you know, you gotta make sure they get the proper moisture. So, okay. I'll tell you what, my voice is, or my throat's starting to get a little bit sore here, so I think what I'm gonna do here is I'm probably gonna be probably just dumping a bunch of music in here for the last 10 minutes, and then I'll go ahead and, start up the archives. So, again, ladies and gentlemen who are here, thank you for joining me here tonight in the Tinker Shop, and we'll see you all tomorrow night for the Medic Shack with Chuck and Cad and Jake. So, here we go. Go off here with some music. So, we'll just start out with the Danville Train here, and we'll go from there. Take care, thank you, and God bless, and have a very good evening, and a very safe rest of the weekend. So hopefully we don't have any problems. Hopefully everything stays mellow and stay safe and stay well. Take care.
Virgil Caine is a name, and I served on the Danville train till Stormont's cavalry came and tore up the tracks again. In the winter of 65, we were hungry, just barely alive. By May the 10th, Richmond had fell. It's a time I remember oh so well. Tonight they drove old Dixie down, and the bells were ringing. Tonight they drove old Dixie down, singing they went la 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 la. Back with my wife in Tennessee, when one day she called to me, Virgil, quick come see, there goes you leave and you leave the rest, but they should never have taken the very best. Tonight they drove old Dixie down, and the bells were ringing. Tonight they drove old Dixie down, and all the people were saying,
Okay, so, yep. Jake was in here talking at me here, so sorry about if I was a little bit late there getting back in here. So.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah, he just said hello to everybody. I don't know if you could hear it or not, so. Let's see here. How about a little bit of the Chieftains? A little bit of Cotton Eye Joe.
Where did you go? Where did you come from, Cotton Eye
Come and listen to the story going round. How our Lord and Jesse James rode into Belfast town. They stopped for a drink, stopped for a meal. Drinking whiskey, drinking wine, and they were feeling mighty fine as they rode into Belfast through the hills of Ligonine. And not a word was spoken as they travelled on their way, until they came to the Falls Road, and yes, he did say, God, I haven't felt so good since I robbed the Glendale Tray. Our Lord, he raised his head, turned to Jesse, and he said, I never thought I'd see the likes of Calvary again. And they rode past the burnt-out motor cars and the tangle of barbed wire in the city built upon the swamp and baptized in fire. Our Lord was going to bless the place, but a bullet grazed his hand. As the blood came trickling red, he turned to Jesse and he said, it's just that old stigmata, it's infectious in this land. Oh, our Lord was up on the donkey, Jesse James was riding the mare, and they rode past the army tanks and never showed a care. Jesse on his fiddle played the victory at the boy. Jesus put his bazooki down, turned to Jesse with a frown. I don't think you should play that tune when we're passing through our going. when they came to Valley Murphy, the curate up and said, if you give us back our freedom, you can keep your fishing bread. Jesse walked among the crowd to see what he could see. His possessions, they were few, so he picked a pocket or two. He was serving his apprenticeship with the SDLP. On the top of Gibbous Mountain, there stands a lonely tree. And children passing by there, and they stop and bend a knee. And men with hidden guns make the silent vows that the riots will stop the day that the soldiers go away. Leave our Lord on the cross, Jesse hanging from the bough.
Okay, well, again, thank you all for being here tonight with me. Yeah, tonight's the 1st of November of 2014, and as I'd said it way back at the beginning, this is the Tinker Shop. So, again, thank you all for joining me tonight. Take care. God bless. Be well and be safe. And so I'll go ahead and put my signature tune in here, and then we'll be starting the archives as soon as that's over. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be since I found serenity. You can't take the sky from me.